All right. Turn with me, if you will, to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. We're going to read the first three verses of Judges chapter 11. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. You know, being the father of young children, I get to recall and read to my children many classic tales, particularly for children, specifically for them, including tales like The Ugly Duckling. If you recall in that particular story, and this will relate to the passage in a second, so don't worry. If you recall in that story, a mother duck's eggs, they hatch, and she has several beautiful yellow ducklings. One egg hatches a little bit later, is gray, awkward, and bigger than the other ducklings. The other ducklings think that he's ugly, and so as a result, they ostracize him. The mother duck defends him, but he's still bothered by the reaction that these his brothers are having against him. And then one day the ugly duckling gets lost. He's off swimming by himself. He's avoiding hunting dogs and things of that nature. Then the weather gets colder and colder, and the duckling is forced to spend the winter where he is. He doesn't fly home because he doesn't know to fly south for the winter. But he stays where he is. Eventually, as the weather gets warmer and warmer, he sees his reflection in the recently thawed lake. He's no longer that awkward gray bird, but a beautiful white swan. You know, when I read of the beginning of Jephthah's story, it sounds very much like that of the ugly duckling. In fact, I've titled this particular lesson, The Ugly Judge, because he starts off that way. He starts off sounding like someone you wouldn't want to have anything to do with. He is the son of a harlot, and the indication here is that he was the oldest son of a man named Gilead. His father's legitimate sons, they drive him out, denying him any inheritance of their father. He then flees himself and essentially joins what amounts to a criminal gang. These are worthless men who raided people, who robbed people. But during this time, Jephthah made himself of value by becoming a mighty man of valor. We see that in verse 1. It specifically calls him that, a mighty man of valor. He became a great warrior. And the people needed a warrior to lead them in the battle against their enemies. And at this time, the enemies are the Ammonites. He is a great warrior. But you know what? That's not all. We continue reading the story of Jephthah, and we see that he is familiar with Israelite history. As we keep reading chapter 11, he's confronting the Ammonites and talking with them, and he recounts the history of his people. He knows Israelite history, even things that happened 300 years prior. His insight is great for a man that has been reduced to thievery. Not only that, in chapter 12, he also comes up with a cunning plan for rooting out the Ephraimites who were trying to attack him. We teach our children these stories, stories like The Ugly Duckling, to help them if they're feeling awkward or they don't feel like they fit in. We teach them these stories so that they know it won't always be like this. While the duckling naturally transformed into a beautiful swan, the lesson for Jephthah is different. Jephthah didn't naturally become a mighty man of valor. He had to work at becoming a mighty man of valor. He was part of a criminal gang, and I certainly don't recommend that, please. don't think that I am. But he's using his situation to his benefit. He's using the fact that he is part of this criminal gang to become a mighty man of valor. He also had to study to be so insightful into the history of his people. You know, we don't know who raised him. The indication here, I'm not sure exactly by reading this. There's no specific verse or thing that tells us who exactly raised him, whether it was Gilead himself or perhaps his harlot mother. But it wouldn't surprise me if his education was lacking while he was growing up. Especially since while he was growing up, they were under Ammonite oppression. Yet he still knew so much on top of being so mighty. Not only that, he was smart. Now you might think, oh, you just said he knew a lot. Doesn't that mean he's smart? Well, people can know a lot and not be very smart. And that's certainly the case, and can be, you know, you have a lot of information, and you might even be able to recall it, but the application of that information, it's like the difference between knowledge and wisdom. There's a huge difference between those two. And Jephthah characteristics of both, being very knowledgeable into the history of his people, but also in applying some of those things. In chapter 12, we see how cunning, how wise he is. Now, he does have some areas where he's not so wise. But you know, we all have areas that we need to work on. So, while he is here, while we're looking at this, we see that he was smart, he was wise, he was knowledgeable, he was mighty. You see, he had to work at these skills to become the man he is, or the man he became. A man who was right for the time. A man they were begging to lead. We read later in chapter 11, not long after we stop, we read that they were begging for him to lead them. Even after they threw him out, he became mighty, became knowledgeable, he became cunning. Let us not blame our parentage or how we grew up for our own failings. Sure, they're a big part of who we are. They shape us, but it shouldn't be a crutch. We are responsible for our own actions. We are responsible for ourselves. These failings, yes, if we've been raised in that kind of environment, these failings will be harder to overcome, without a doubt. But you know what? They can be overcome, especially if Christ is on your side. Do you have Christ on your side this evening? Do you have Christ on your side? You know, there are some things that we need to do in order to make sure that he is on our side. Really, it's not him being on our side, it's us being on his side. And the only way we can know what his side is we follow the book. We follow the word that he has given to us. The word of God. Written down here, well, translated into English, transmitted through all the time that has taken to get here to us, so that we can read it and understand it, and more than that, to obey it. The scriptures, you know, we talked about this morning, the fact that we need to hear and fear. Hearing the word of God is so important to understanding what we need to do to be a Christian. Faith comes by hearing, after all, and hearing by the word of God. And so when we hear the word of God, when we hear the gospel preached, if we believe it, if we put our faith in that, then we can be saved. But it doesn't stop there. having belief, a mental assent, is only part of biblical faith. Biblical faith requires action. You see that throughout Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, so-and-so did such and such. They did things based on their faith. And it is by our faith that we are saved. Not simply mental assent to a proposition such as the gospel, but actions based on that belief. Yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And in fact, that's one of the things we've got to do, is confess that faith in Him. But it can't stop there. In order to truly confess His name, we've got to do something. We've got to act. And one of those things we've got to do is repent of our sins. You know, we put out in our local newspaper an ad, and we've been doing this every couple of weeks, putting an ad in the Rutherford Weekly, and the one that we just put out was on the doctrine of once saved, always saved. And I encourage you, check that out on our website if you don't have access to the Weekly, if it doesn't circulate in your area. Because it is an excellent study on this particular doctrine. The idea is that if we think that we are saved, can we lose it? Well, I believe the scripture is very clear that it is possible that we can lose our salvation. And one of the ways we can do that is if we don't truly repent. Looking at the idea of Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, he was saved. In verses 13 and 14, he believed. He was baptized. There's no indication that it was some kind of false belief. He truly became a Christian. And then he went and did something he shouldn't have. And Peter tells him, you need to repent and pray God. And so that's one of the things that we need to do, repent. Turn away from the sin that we have done, and continually repent, making sure that we are on that right path, that we are walking in the light as He is in the light, as we see in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. We already talked about confessing His name, and then finally, in order to get into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 says, "For everyone who has been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. Everyone who's been baptized into Christ has put on Christ." Have you put on Christ this evening? In a few moments, we're going to have our invitation song, and there'll be instructions on the right part of your screen for how you can respond to that given this current medium. And I encourage you to do so. We want to help you. We want to make sure that you are, that you get into heaven. And we want to make sure that you are in Christ. Acts chapter 22, verse 16 tells us what Paul did in order to get into Christ, to have his sins washed away. We see exactly what Paul did. Ananias tells him, "Now why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That's what he had to do. He had to be baptized in water for the purpose of having his sins washed away. We understand baptism to be by immersion. That must be done for us to even hope to have a home in heaven one day. Please. If you need to do that this evening, let us know. And we'll try to make sure that somehow that gets taken care of. And if you need to do like Simon the Sorcerer did, you've already believed, you've already been baptized, and you need to repent, and you need to pray, perhaps even confess that sin, you have a chance to make that known to us today. Please. If you have a need, let us know as we sing.